In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? The question is bold and direct. It may even seem like a rather stupid question, especially considering who these wise men, these magi, were asking. Paranoid Herod, sitting on his throne, thought that he was the King of the Jews. He had proven himself murderously zealous in asserting that claim. To ask, where is he who has been born King of the Jews, risks offense and retribution. No wonder all Jerusalem was troubled. Yet still they ask, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. If he's not here, if we've been deceived, if God lied to us, then nothing at all really matters, much less offense and retribution. But if he really is here, here on this earth, here among us, nothing else matters. Again, if the king is not here, nothing really matters, but if he is here, nothing else matters. Pay close attention to what the Magi say and how they say it. It gives us a clue as to why the Magi's question is so bold and why it is so vital, even life-shaping. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Not who will become the king, but who has been born the king. The kings of this world are born princes at best, who may or may not ascend a throne. They're not born with the true king's power and authority. But the one the Magi seek has been born the king. He has been born the king because even before his conception and birth, he has always been the king of all kings, the lord of all lords. The one who has been born is and has always been God himself. God, now born a man, born to be the Christ, born to save us all from evil, born to raise the dead, born to judge the world and create it anew. Where is he? We must know. If you read any headlines today, tuned in any newscast, you wouldn't have heard anything about Epiphany. Nothing about the Christ child who was born King of the Jews. The Christmas ads have run their course and the box nativity sets are off the shelves. No, instead today you hear the world posture and pose about politics and power, spouting speeches about peace or justice or unity or truth or good, things that they really neither desire nor understand. But if he who has been born King of the Jews is not here, none of that matters. If God himself has not come down and become a man like us, if Jesus did not die our death, if he did not rise from the dead, if he did not ascend to the one and only true throne in heaven, if Jesus is not here to bring us through death and into eternal life, then who cares? Who cares about kings or rulers, presidents or politicians? Who cares about anything in the news cycle or on your favorite channel or site or podcast or whatever? Who cares about what they say or think or do? Who cares about anything at all? There's no hope, only petty politics and inevitable death. Why care about others when love, why love when there is no love, just selfish desires set against each other? If Jesus is not truly born the King, that means God has failed us. He's not kept his promises to forgive us and heal us. He's broken his word, and we cannot trust anything that he says. If Jesus is not the Christ, then God is a liar just like the devil. And we're on our own. So enjoy what you can while you can, until you kick the bucket, I guess. Maybe you should kowtow and grovel to the people in power. I might give you an extra crumb to ease your misery. But who cares? But if Jesus is the Christ, born the King of the Jews, if he really is here, then nothing else matters. No one else can give us life, but Jesus does. No one else will endure the end of the world, but Jesus will. Every other man will fail us, but Jesus never will. Every other kingdom will fall, but Jesus' kingdom alone will stand forever. If Jesus is born King of the Jews, then nothing else matters. Not politics, not hurt feelings, not fear of rejection and punishment, not pride, not racial heritage, not injustices nor infringed rights, not even violence or the pain of death. Because none of these are eternally consequential. Getting tied all into knots over all of these, letting any of these monopolize our minds and hearts and meditations, it only clogs up our consciences and distracts us from the essential question. Where is he who was born King of the Jews? Where is Jesus, my Savior, your Savior, the Savior of the world? We must know. We must know so that we may worship him, abide with him, receive his wisdom and cleansing and healing and comfort and life. Only Jesus can right what's wrong. Only Jesus can deliver justice. Only Jesus can unite a fractured humanity. Only Jesus can make us whole. Where is he? We must hear him. Where is he? He is the only one worthy of our obedience and trust. Where is he? Jesus, and Jesus alone, is our true King. The first sign that led the Magi to Jesus was not the star, but the Word of God. A passage from the book of Numbers prompted them to look for a star, but then the scriptures themselves proclaimed who the one to be born really was and what he was destined to do for us. God brought the Magi to Herod in Jerusalem to turn them to that same Word of God so that they too would come and worship the Christ. They too would believe him and receive him as their true King. But for them, the Word evoked not faith, but fear. They would rather things be like they were before anyone cared about Bethlehem, like they were at the end of the book of Judges, which reads, "There was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes." The Word of God is the only word that we are given to speak to this world, though, whether they want to hear it or not, whether or not they denounce us as evil or stupid, whether or not they threaten us or hurt us. This is the mystery of grace that Paul preaches, the mystery hidden for ages in God, the manifold wisdom of God that God makes known to the rulers and the authorities, even in the heavenly places, through the church. God uses our mouths, our faithfulness, to lead the world to its King. And if we want to lead anyone in the world to where Christ is, we must first hear his word and walk that way ourselves. God's word still answers the Magi's question for us today. Where is he who was born King of the Jews? He's right here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. This is my body. This is my blood. Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. With us here in the capital C church. Here, where you, Christ's body, are joined and built into the Spirit's temple and our Father's house. Here, in the divine service, where we gather to worship the Word made flesh who comes to us by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us to our Heavenly Father. This gathering, right here, this gathering to receive these gifts from Christ, this is the most consequential place and hour in your life. Because here is your real life. Here is Jesus. Here is your King and your God come to be with you. Compared to this, nothing else matters. No obligations, no opportunities, embarrassment, feuds, or fatigue. Here's your King. Come and worship Him. When the Magi went into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Why did they bring those treasures? Not to get anything from Jesus. We don't read that they received a special boon or blessing or emotional boost or were imparted some special spiritual mojo of some sort. We don't even hear of them making any requests of him. There's enough for them to have their faith receive the truth of Jesus' incarnation and life. The treasures they brought to honor him as a sign of their faith. They didn't know what God would use those treasures for, but they trusted that he would use them in the very best way. And God did. Though the Magi could not have foreseen it, their treasures would fund the Holy Family's flight down to Egypt to escape an enraged Herod. In that way, the Magi's treasures became a blessing even to all of us, even though the Magi would never know it. So it is also with us. It's not a mistake that we bring our gifts to the divine service to offer them to God. We bring them not to get something from God or because we feel like we're getting some value from the preacher or from the church or even because we intend the money to be used in a specific way. We bring our treasures because our faith obligates us to do so. We bring gifts to honor our God and entrust them to Him to use as He deems best. In this way, our treasures become a blessing to many more, even for generations after us, in ways that we may never see, just as you have benefited from the gifts of those who came before you. And really, what worthier use could we have for our treasures? Leave them with Jesus, and trust that He'll do good in the very best way, at the very best time. And when the Magi went home, they didn't leave their true treasures behind, and neither do you. Where your treasure is, there your hearts will be also. Their hearts and yours are filled by Jesus with Jesus. Likewise, your mouths. You now carry the clear, true word of God. You carry the word, carry Jesus to your homes, to your neighbors, to your networks. And you now walk not in the same way as you did before. You walk the way that God's word directs you, that others may follow. Walk that way. Bring that word so that they too may come and worship Him. Where is He who is born King of the Jews? We know where He is. The word reveals Himself to us. Christ has come. Our King is here. And that's all that matters. Come and worship Him. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.